Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, Don and Ben. John is in the lurch and he may join us soon. What are the hot topics this week? Minnesota Public Radio put out an announcement stating that they've severed ties with Garrison Keillor, the creator of Prairie Home Companion, that brought in millions of dollars with them over a 40-year period. In fact, when he sold his first best-selling novel, Lake Wobegon Days, in the mid-80s, of the $1 million in profits he received 30 to 40 years ago, it was 30 years ago, he gave half of those profits to Minnesota Public Radio, which morphed into American Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International, the bedrock of radio foundations. Also, why was he fired? Because he patted a woman's back to comfort her, a friend of his who was working with him on the show, and supposedly he moved his hand on her back 6 inches down. And that was considered sexual harassment. The topic tonight is in the court of public opinion, we have what is called character assassination. Now, with Matt Lauer, it appears that there's a most consistent pattern of behavior that he exhibited even in his office, supposedly, where he exposed himself on some level. But why are people going after John Conyers, too? He is 88 years old. Garrison Keillor is 75 years old. John Conyers of Detroit, Michigan, the U.S. congressman, is practically at death's door. If they are going to go after him, it would be pretty hard to hold up a front at age 88. He's in the hospital, I hear. The other issue is other people who've been busted in the news, like Al Franken, who is now under an ethics committee investigation. And for a dead ringer, Jane Fields preyed upon with a spark plug disaster, which won't be discussed until later in the show, but luckily it'll be resolved by tomorrow. Good evening, Ben, and good evening, Don.
Hey, good evening, guys. Hey, Ben.
Hey.
Did you ever hug a woman or do anything on the job that might come out and bring something upon your head 20 years later? I remember kissing a guy in the stairwell at one of my jobs in L.A. It wasn't you, Don, by the way. It was a Filipino guy at the American Red Cross.
Oh, okay. Well, bottom line,
who has the fuzzy tone?
Not I.
It could be me.
Are you out working, Ben?
Yeah, I'm almost home though.
Basically, this is only going to be a 45-minute show. We have a lot of just current events that are swirling around. Now, neither one of you are from Minnesota, but I know you've heard of Prairie Home Companion, or at least I hope you have. I mean, the author of Lake Wobegon Days, and he's also a columnist in the Washington Post, who subsequently fired him this week because National Public Radio did.
Right.
More specifically, Minnesota Public Radio. He got canned. I mean, is this like some kind of morphed phenomena, or are we just should we just sit back and laugh or cry?
No, I would. In my case, I can't. I have to take the fifth because I lived in the George Bush era and Bill Clinton and those guys. So everybody, you know, and this is where Donald Trump learned how to, you know, grab bitches by the pussy and all that stuff.
Well, George Bush Sr., it only recently came out that he grabbed someone's ass in a wheelchair, which I really don't even want to know about. Like, but, I mean, I don't think Al Franken and Garrison Keillor are exact, they're not sex symbols, but
yeah,
they are public figures.
That's not a point either. The point is that a more powerful person has the opportunity to take advantage of a less powerful person, and that would be men or women, and that could be interns and students. So you've got this power, and it's just coming out today because this time, because that's the way the world works. That's why I'm so against war, because one of the tenets of war, one of the main principles of war.
Ben, can you mute yourself till you get home? Because it's too distracting.
You still hear that?
Nope. I don't hear it, but I did up to a minute ago.
Oh, that was me tearing my phone off Velcro.
Wow, there you go.
Off the Velcro? John, go ahead with your statement, please. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say that it's just rape is one of the main principles after you've plundered and pillaged, then you rape. And that's one of the things that's been going on in We found out that Iraq is still a principal military activity. You've been talking about who knows what's going on in Afghanistan, and you know.
Well, let's not talk about that. Can I interject a point so we can stay a little more scrutiny on topic? Now, the New York Times wrote, and I know this doesn't really apply for you, but it's a universal thing. So the New York Times, one of the editorial staff wrote, so when I say it's dead wrong that Minnesota Public Radio is going to stop rebroadcasting past episodes of Prairie Home Companion, I don't make the argument out of any devotion to Garrison Keillor. It's also not because of the allegation that he got fired yesterday after more than 40 years of running the show he founded with very limited information so far. The allegations were is that he put his hand on a woman's bare back when he was trying to comfort her in distress. It's because scrubbing the culture. Wait, Don, this is important, okay? Yeah. It's the universal. It's what my main point is tonight. The Star Tribune, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, said that the behavior amounted to one instance in which he basically just comforted someone. It's because of the scrubbing the culture of a lifelong of work produced by the complicated or compromised or conniving or criminal or contemptible is a practice that is a chilling legacy. It is a policy that is typically carried out by those who lack all faith in people to make up their own minds. One of the greatest things the past 2 months has proven is that Americans, especially American women, are more capable of rendering their own judgments. So I guess, see, first of all, what you and Ben don't know, but maybe it's not relevant, is that Prairie Home Companion went all over the country in the summer for years on end. They even came to the Greek Theater in L.A., and it was a hugely popular show, and one of the presidents called them on their very last night that they aired, which was a year ago, in November of 2016. But now they have this new guy running it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that women apparently do have power if they can take down a major public figure like Charlie Rose. These are people that aren't even threatening style men. They can take him down in one day.
Wow. That's
nobody said women didn't have power. It's just not equal power. This whole thing is going to destroy the women's movement. The argument behind it is going to be destroyed by this influx of all these cases.
Well, how about John?
Power.
That was very well said, Ben. How about John Conyers, the 88-year-old, one-foot-in-the-grave congressman who was a vital civil rights leader? Like, this woman got paid off $27,000 to keep her mouth shut, but now she's pissed off. I don't know. Even if he did do something wrong or terrible, short of rape, I don't know if his whole legacy should be destroyed.
Do you understand what's going on, though? It's not about the money per se that's being paid out. This is all taxpayer money. All this money is our money going to pay off these, in many cases, bogus claims. You know, contemplate that the women here know that they want money, period. Women love money. They love money. They love money. They love money. The way that they can get money is to sometimes tell lies, sometimes go around and say, hey, X did this to Y, and this is babies.
But who's giving them authority to do that?
The court system. The court system right now is trying to figure out how much men should still be in what degree of power. It's not something.
But okay, I'll give you an example. The Al Franken thing is rather twisted. I can't even remember the original claim. I think it was that comedy sketch where he pretended he was squeezing boobs. But now there's an Army veteran claiming that when Al Franken, put his arm around her in a photo op in the Middle East, that he came too close to her breast. Now, these are people
right.
who are just calling the media up. It's not a court-related thing.
Well,
where
were they when they first started? They weren't anywhere in sight. And then all of a sudden, you've got this large number of people coming forward saying, somebody blew on my earlobe, or whatever the case may be. That's not the way people interact, where they're afraid
okay.
of any touch. You know, I don't even understand what sometimes, and these guys do it all. This is how the industry works. That's why I moved to Reno from Hollywood. You know, from the you know, that's this is that's a prevalent thing, but it's a thing, and everybody pretty much knows how far it should go, what should happen.
I can hear Pat in the background. Ben, what do you think about, like, Ben, thank you, Don, and I appreciate
yeah.
that. Ben, can you compare and contrast somebody like Matt Lauer, who has very descriptive situations with coworkers, versus Al Franken, who just didn't put his arm around the Army sergeant right during the ISO tour as a comedian? Can you compare and contrast that?
Well, first of all, I could care less about either of them. And if they get fired or if they lose their jobs, I could care less. But the thing is that there is a difference between men and women. And what the colleges and what the third wave feminism movement doesn't want to acknowledge is actually happening. And it's being proved right now that there is a difference, a huge difference. If a man exposes himself in a workplace to a woman, that's a lot different than a woman exposing herself to a man.
Right. She'd probably end up in the back alley having a lunchtime folly. If she was like, if she's trying to seduce someone at work, most men wouldn't complain unless she's ugly.
What do you know about that, Jane?
No, I used to work in Virginia. My pastor's wife said that some women were selling their bodies at lunch for $5 a pop in Virginia in the old days, and they needed money, so they just it was like some kind of weird network. It was a network of bizarre prostitution.
It was free for me.
Okay, well, some guys were willing to pay $5 for a blowjob. I'm sorry you're so cheap.
Okay.
Wow.
All I'm saying is Ben's right. Like, a woman's, like John kind of said this on the show a week ago, a woman's powers of seduction has a wide, intricate range. Like, it takes a lot for a man to be offended.
Well, we're
like
not
even
equal.
Dress code.
And women,
right.
The women's equality movement is BS when you consider the cases like this. Because to be a protected class of people, that to try to be a victim and create a victim class, that's not how men work. There's not a male victim class of people that's protected.
Well, it just seems rather like a mass symptomatic. It seems like it does remind me of 1984, George Orwell, where all of a sudden one public filter, like let's take Bill O'Reilly, for example. Apparently that happened over a number of years and it was documented. But that also, a lot of it didn't come to light, as Don said, until the ball started rolling. Then we have that class of people like Bill O'Reilly and Matt Lauer, who are media moguls. Then we have the Donald Trumps of the world, where there was just things said here and there, but nothing was ever investigated, really. It was just kind of like a media phase. And then, many people have said this week that the public figures are going to be a lot slower to receive punishment than other people, like Garrison Keillor. It just seems like it's kind of like some kind of weird media train, where every day somebody gets exposed and convicted in the court opinion of the public eye. So for me, it's disappointing when someone. I could care less too, Ben, but I do think whether it's that Alabama guy who's running for public office or Al Franken, whether Al Franken's from Minnesota or not, I do care about public figures going down this way versus like a Matt Lauer type person who's already kind of come and gone and he's at the wane of his career.
Well, Don was right. Don was right. This is our money. And these are the same people that they go around lobbying for new taxes to be raised for, like, schools and infrastructure, and then all this secret money's paid off to keep people quiet. I think they should be sued for the amounts of money that we're talking about, and it should come out of their personal pocket, and they should lose their pensions.
Well, in the case of John Conyers,
exactly.
I'm sure he used some of his own money.
Boom.
That's a relevant thing, but if it's someone like this thing with Garrison Keillor, it came out a few days ago. He's 75 years old, and he's already had a 45-year career span. Like, what does it matter now? Like, he's going to retire. He's not going to go broke, and he's not going to be sued by the woman whose back he patted. So in that case, I disagree. It's not really relevant.
Maybe he thinks it's time to retire. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he wants to just enjoy the rest of his life and he doesn't want to deal with anything. Whatever he did is in the past and he's had a good life.
Well, basically he told Minnesota Public Radio that this is beyond him and he's not even going to submit himself to be like – he's not even going to address it. It's beneath him because it's so much bullshit, basically. Like, if he had been accused of raping someone in a hotel room, that would be different. But patting someone's back and having your career destroyed over that, for Christ's sake, I mean, that's beyond a joke.
And that's what I just said. So essentially, he's just tired. He's going to ride off into the sunset. He might have to pay a fine or a fee to somebody, but he doesn't care because that's going to end his the time in the sun, and he had a great time, you know, and you can't blame
him.
The more
you remember
people
that pastor who got busted, Jimmy Swaggart, for picking up a hooker on the side of the road? I mean, now in that case,
about being so high and mighty. All these people claim devotion to God's word and exclusivity.
Well, that's
to,
what I was going to say. In that case, it's relevant because their messaging and what they're trying to do in society, it is kind of disappointing when, like, a preacher does it. But when someone shares heartwarming stories, like this Garrison Keillor guy, his whole show was about Meryl Streep was in the movie about the radio show closing. It was produced by Robert Altman. When it's heartwarming stories of the American heartland that people go for nostalgia, where they hear, like, cowboy songs and folk songs, I mean, this guy has a reputation to uphold, too. It's paradoxical. Someone like Al Franken, he already had some a bad reputation in some circles for making bad jokes about women during his comedy years. Okay, I'm going to let you guys talk a minute because I feel like I'm hogging the show.
Well, you're kind of a homer. You're just, you know, all of these folks that are coming, okay. All of these folks
yes?
that you're defending are from home state or a state that you've had an allegiance to, and these guys, you're taking on a particular interest in them.
Well, it's like colloquialism. Of course, it's like finding out Bob Dylan is a transvestite. I mean, he's like a Minnesota legend.
Who said that he was a transvestite?
I'm making a joke. Like, if it would be like you, Don, your most beloved person in Nevada or Wisconsin, you know, like Father Grappi, finding out you're like a Martin Luther King, where he cheated on, we found out that he cheated on a college paper. I mean, these kind of things do affect our psyche.
Yes, they do. And I'm not going to lie about that. But then I'm just saying that sometimes that nobody's perfect, and some people try to make them out more perfect than they really are.
Okay, go ahead,
Ben. The mayor of Seattle. Did you guys hear about the mayor of Seattle last year getting removed from office?
Vaguely, but I can't even, to tell you the truth, I can't remember why.
No.
So the mayor of Seattle, and it didn't surprise me at all. That guy was I could tell he was a freak.
A nut job?
Yeah, well, he was a gay pride activist, and he spent like ridiculous amounts of money to cater to the gay pride
like
side,
the gay movement.
Basically. He spent like $60,000 or $70,000 in tax money to paint rainbows on the sidewalks. And you know, everybody that wasn't gay or liberal was like, yeah, Seattle's just screwed because of that guy. Well, he ended up having some sexual problems with an underage prostitute, male prostitute, that came out against him several times. And every time before, it was just kind of, you know, shrugged off. But this time, it stuck.
Wow.
And, but the media didn't go nuts about it. It was gone. I mean, it was over with, and then there was a new mayor, so...
Well, I mean,
you
know, I don't.
When you say
to me, that seems legitimate, but I'm talking more about bandwagon character assassinations, where one day it's one person being like a Bill Cosby situation. You know, like he was the family dad, American television dad for years. I mean, it's harder to take with some people than others. But you're right.
Well,
sometimes the way the
he was. No, he was on the side of the media. The media was on his side. He was basically doing everything that they wanted out of a mayor. That's why they totally ignored this bombshell story and just let it slip by.
I agree, and I think that's a legitimate point. And the only reason I'm bringing all this up is so much has happened at once. Like, let's just take this as an example, and I'll stay away from my Minnesota cohorts. How many people out there do you think still thinks Bill O'Reilly is a good historian who writes good books and is a good media scrutiny person? Like, supposedly he brought in all the ratings at Fox. So how many people still think he is a semi-decent human being who just fucked up? What would you guys say?
I like him, and I think him getting removed had a little bit to do with him grilling Obama so bad. Who knows if it's
true
or not?
Well, I think in his day he made pretty good arguments. He was aggressive in a good way. Like he asked the right questions, even though I'm not a conservative, and he was on top of things. And to me, I don't know. It's just kind of strange. But just like him and Matt Lauer, there were specific situations and specific examples where he really screwed up. You know, like he behaved inappropriately, or he tried to get something that he couldn't have, and he used an ineffective means to get it. So I just can't handle all the emotional downgrade of certain public figures all at once. It just seems like a witch hunt. And I think, Ben, could you describe the third wave of feminization in a better tone that I can understand?
The attack on patriarchy in general is basically where they've gone wrong. And that's, I think it's the main thing that makes their argument suck, is because attacking every father figure and every male and saying that males are rapists by nature and that they should not have any power at all, that's a problem because you're attacking every civilization from the beginning of time when you do that. And you're saying that,
well, that
males
kinda
are
reminds
all inherently...
me of, I think the Harvey Weinstein case is different because I heard a lady on the radio today from New Jersey who worked in entertainment where there's like this unspoken rule that you have to, like if you're a grunt in the industry and you have to submit to the boss in the beginning, then you just shut up to keep your job. But in a situation like in D.C. or public radio that I was talking about, it's a little different, like in unexpected areas where you don't expect men to behave like that, then it becomes more shocking. Like everybody knows the casting couch stories, but we thought maybe we had evolved from that. So within certain institutions, we know how certain men act, but women do too. And I'm sure some women have done scandalous things to get roles too, and maybe stepped on over somebody else to get it.
Right, and that's something that every father should teach their daughter about subjugation and how to avoid it from an early age. And some women go out and put themselves into positions where they can gain something from it, even if they're going to have to play the victim later.
Well, then there's
a
the question
of lot,
like, can you guys name one of the women by memory who has brought out an accusation of Al Franken this week? Like, sometimes these women, their stories come and go like a roundabout in the media, too. Like, the power of their story lasts 72 hours and then it fades. Unless it's like a Bill Cosby thing where they covered it for months on end, how he gave the date rape drug to certain women. So that's another story. But when it's just a flash in the pan news, some people forget within 72 hours. Now, in the case of
half of them are drunk or drugged out, and these women don't even recall what exactly could have happened. But, or men, because it happened.
And plus they didn't say it for 20 years. They just kept their mouth shut.
Right, and that's for fear of their careers. These women, I've been there. I've seen them. They're young girls coming from Podunk, Idaho, and they're there to make money. They're there to become stars. They'll do anything to be a star. And, you know, we've got people, Roy Moore, for instance. You know, his wife, he was with her when he was 15, apparently. She's 15 or 16 years old. And, you know, that's just coming out now in any kind of deference to his lifestyle before. You know, this is something that is...
And trust me, in
pervasive.
Southern culture, I lived in Virginia and Oklahoma. In Southern culture, men, I knew a military man who married a woman at 16. Like, that's not
right.
Such an odd thing in the South.
No, and it's probably your cousin, too. But the bottom line is that it's people in this day and time, the puritanicals, and this is what I'm talking about right now in terms of Roy Moore and those people of his ilk. The puritanicals are so ensconced in that holier than thou, having to be perfect, biblical, you know, Christians or whatever, you know, godly. And then they lose sight of the humanness of humanity, which is, you know, what I did in certain instances. But you lose sight of what is really moral, what's right. And, you know, now if I ever thought of a person touching my, you know, 17, 15-year-old girl, I'd be enraged. You know, and that's what a dad...
Well, it's kind of, like Ben was saying, it's kind of a fuzzy line. Like, if Al... Let's say your daughter Shannon's at a press release for a local like a state senator, and he puts his arm around her for a photo off, and he happens to just nick her boob by mistake. I mean, it just seems rather accusatory that these women are coming out 5, 10, 15 years later over something that little. If it's one thing if he followed her to the car and tried to get her into a hotel room, but
it's our job
it just
to
seems
figure
rather
out
obscure.
It's our job to figure out if it's true or not. That's the point. Anybody can
right, but the media just reports that just because that girl was an Army staff sergeant or whatever during the ISO tour, did they fact check before they aired the segment, or did they just take her word verbatim?
I'm not so sure. Nobody has ever questioned the validity of the picture itself. This could have been staged. She very easily does not have to be asleep, or she had her eyes closed. You know, these are other guys the guys and girls on this airplane. This could have been.
No, I'm talking about the
Al
Franken
joke.
One where I'm looking at this picture of the woman. She's leaning sideways into him, and he has like this sweatshirt on for the ISO tour. And
okay.
They're
oh.
cheek to cheek, and he has his arm around her, and I don't see him touching it, going anywhere near her boob.
That's Jen. This is, you know, there are many, 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 many seconds between that picture and before and after. But you know, the bottom line is that these men it's a culture. They don't think twice, and the next thing you know, that they're in a compromising position. And this happens, you know, the wives, they get a hold of this, and those who are naive enough to know that politics and monogamy mix are stupid as hell, and so they get this, you know, picture, and the next thing you know, they're filing for divorce. And this guy only has a picture of him grabbing, you know, his hand closely around somebody's butt, cheeks, or whatever, boobs, or whatever. But the bottom line is that this is normal activity. And
okay, we only have 9 minutes left of the show, so give Ben a chance to respond, please.
Go for it.
What this makes me think of is, do you guys remember how bad the media and people viciously made fun of Mike Pence when it came out that he does not go to dinner without his wife with a female colleague? Do you remember how bad they made fun of him because he's such a square?
Yeah.
He doesn't go out to dinner? Well, look
right,
at
like
where
you said,
it's gotten
he won't go out to eat with unless his wife is present when there's another
right,
woman involved.
He avoids the appearance of evil, or he avoids the situation that can be manipulated to drag him into a bad place. So I don't make fun of him at all. There's not a lot of guys like that left that will do that. So they can make fun of him all they want. But look at all these people that have these problems that don't follow that. You'll never know if it's true or false.
Well, that's the same reasoning for Sharia law, is that the men, the Muslim men, do not trust themselves, and so they have to have the women cover
no,
up.
That's not even close. If you want to put yourself
Sharia.
At the no, what if it's avoiding a malevolent woman? She could. You can go out to dinner if she has a political. No, if she has a political agenda, you can be manipulated. You can be changed by
the pretense of the entire Bible, Quran, and everything else is that women are manipulative. That women are maleficent. That they are bad. That's the whole pretense of the Bible.
No,
okay,
that's not.
Can I ask you guys a bigger question before we end the show? How about Hillary Clinton? She was somewhat a victim of her husband's inappropriate behavior, but Then again, when Donald Trump bullied her or tried to put her in a box because of her feminine, you know, like because she's a woman, who won that? Who won that public struggle between Clinton and Trump?
Trump.
He did win because
knows he was right.
People just
Trump.
Accepted him for who he was, and knowing that he has a background with women and that he likes women. Like, people just said, okay,
he
Yeah.
He was bringing up Bill Clinton. Everybody, there's no debate there. Bill Clinton has raped people, and Hillary helped hide it all.
Well, I don't
there's
think
no
he's
there.
Raped them. I think he's seduced the wrong people.
So
I think you should...
Oh, wait, he did, supposedly he did rape Juanita Broderick and inappropriately did something to Paula Jones.
You can find a better list than that. The list is miles long.
Well, I just threw that out there, Ben. I'm a little tired tonight. I'm not on my A game.
People need to let the Clintons go to jail because it's really going to be good for Chelsea Clinton to see justice happen to her parents.
That's pretty forceful.
No, that's how justice works.
Well, I think our media is kind of twisted, and I'll tell you why. Even for Hillary to put a book out called What Happened, which I consider a strange title, it almost seems like an excuse to why she lost. Like, why couldn't she just, like, put a more evolved title up and then just explain what happened, not title a book What Happened, because... She doesn't have the full authority to describe what happened when there's so many different kinds of voters, whether they voted legitimately or not for Donald Trump. I don't know. It just seems like it doesn't really matter how the media handled her womanness versus Donald Trump's arrogance. He still won, and people still chose him. So that's just the way it is. Now, if that was a female-male struggle, kind of like in a Greek-style manner, you know, like in a larger-than-life Greek god manner, then maybe that's what it was, but it still happened, and we still had to witness it.
Yeah.
Any comments?
That just threw me off. I have no idea what you meant by
trying to say is I'm trying to be prophetic here. With all the type of... by the way, you guys, I got rid of my cable again because I just couldn't handle the coverage. I'm staring at a blank TV right now. I'm trying to say that in the American public media, it's like a circus or a parade where some things are legitimate and they have... real legitimacy, but other things are like a charade where it's just the alleged accused or the probable cause, and we can't color distinctly between the black and white lines of those types of areas and who's really guilty of something and who's really innocent. Now, let's just use Bill Cosby. This is my conclusion, because then each of you have to make yours. We have a short show tonight. In the court of public opinion, they spent a year to a year and a half on Bill Cosby's demise of his character, and in the end it was a hung jury, and that was it. He never went to jail, blah blah blah. Now we only have 2 minutes left, so I have to cut myself off. Could somebody make their conclusion?
Yeah, I will. Going back to the court of public opinion and Hillary's book, I think she's really good at manipulating the public opinion, and I think the book is her way of trying to change the public opinion to save her, because she did some bad stuff and it's going to come out, and she's hoping that the public opinion will be there for her. But it's gone. People let her go already.
Well, I think that's relevant, and I hope she's only trying to protect her legacy, not make another major run for public office. Because in her little world, whether you like her or not, She obviously has some kind of short or long-term agenda that we cannot honestly define unless we were her.